and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
God has gone up with a shout.
The Lord has sounded the trumpet.
The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand
until I make your enemies your footstool.
The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind.
You are a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek.
The Lord is at your right hand.
He will shatter kings on the day of his wrath.
Thank you.
Almighty God, as your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, ascended into the heavens, so may we also ascend in heart and mind and continually dwell there with him, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The ascension of our Lord is from the book of Acts, the first chapter. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, by which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into the heavens, and as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go up into heaven." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
God has gone up with a shout.
The Lord with the sound of a trumpet.
Clap your hands, all peoples.
Shout to God with loud sounds of joy.
For the Lord, the Most High, is to be feared.
A great king over all the earth.
He subdued peoples under us.
And nations under our feet.
He chose our heritage for us.
The pride of Jacob, whom he loves.
God has gone up with a shout.
The Lord with the sound of a trumpet.
Sing praises to God. Sing praises.
Sing praises to our King. Sing praises.
For God is the King of all the earth.
Sing praises with a song.
God reigns over the nations.
God sits on his holy throne.
The princes of the peoples gather as the people of the God of Abraham.
For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
God has gone up with a shout.
The Lord with the sound of a trumpet.
The second reading is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, the first chapter. "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, blessing God. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who is saved by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text from Luke chapter 24, especially these verses. Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, blessing God. This is our text. Some days, maybe today, maybe earlier in the week, maybe in this coming week, we look up with our eyes glued to the sky, and we just utter the short and simple prayer of longing. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Our hearts cry out for his return. We cling to the words of the angels who said that he will come again in the same way that the disciples saw him go into heaven. And we plead that today might be that day. We're ready, Lord. You don't have to wait for us. We're weak, we're weary, we're bruised, we're battered, we're in need of the rest that only you can bring. We pray with groans too deep for words, sometimes with heartache, exhaustion, even tears. Come, Lord Jesus, because life is more than we can bear. Is that a prayer of faith? Or a plea of desperation? Or maybe both? Where is the Lord when we're lonely, or in despair, or discouraged? It's the question of those who mourn, of widows and orphans and families who grieve. I know on Mother's Day, for all the joy of motherhood, it's the question of some who are here for whom motherhood never happened or hasn't yet. Or their mothers are gone, other sorrows. It's the cry of those who are lonely and broken, divorced, friendless, downtrodden. For those who already feel alone, Ascension Day might be tinged with sadness, as though our Lord is among those who have forsaken them. The one who descended has now ascended and seems so far away, high above our troubled lives. Come, Lord Jesus, for we are those who are tossed about on the ocean of life, and we need an anchor to secure us. The words of the hungry, the homeless, the unemployed, of those whose bodies have grown old, those who are unemployed or impoverished. Come, O Lord, for we need your wisdom in our families, in our marriages, in our work, in all that we do. We need direction, we need guidance, we need assurance. We flounder in these troubled waters. But the one who calmed the storms seems so far away. Come, Lord Jesus, for the world is evil, the devil is active, and we are sinful. The world pressures us to compromise, to minimize, to despise the faith. We are mocked for your sake. The devil constantly tempts us with that which is pleasing to the eye, and our own spirits grow weary in this nonstop battle with sin. It seems like the devil, the world, and our flesh consider Jesus' ascension a sufficient excuse for misbehaving. When the master is away, the mice will play. We may wonder if it's better to be with our Lord, then why are we left like this? Why the ascension? I'm sure we're not the first ones to ask that question, to wonder these things. I'm sure that in the early church they must have wondered the same thing. If only the Lord were here. St. John, exiled on the island of Patmos. St. Stephen,
being stoned to death, St. Peter cast into prison, St. Paul, how shall we count the ways, shipwrecked, beaten, whipped, stoned, hungry, cold, sleepless. How often might they have prayed, "Come, Lord Jesus." And yet it's interesting, when we read the accounts of our Lord's ascension, his ascending into heaven isn't greeted with sorrow or with tears. It isn't a moment of dread, as we might imagine. The angels who are in the sky, they were not some consolation prize. "Well, Jesus is gone, but you got two angels here." No, those angels proclaimed the promise by which the church has lived ever since. The same Jesus who ascended is the one who will come again in the same way. And the book of Acts makes clear that Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified, resurrected, and ascended, is not absent. That's a point I want to drive home. The ascension is not the absence of Jesus. It doesn't mean that he's napping. He hasn't gone up to Maine to the lake, which is a fine place to go. Eldon, that was not pointed at you. In fact, when we think of him ascending into heaven, we have to remember that heaven is not mentioned as a geographic location to which Jesus went, as if you could go to Boston or to heaven, as if he's in a land far, far away. It's not like that. Rather than ascending indefinitely into, as if to orbit the earth or explore the limits of the universe, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. A cloud, a symbol of the divine majesty, showing that the one who was in the flesh, risen from the dead, is taken up into the majesty of God himself. Jesus might not be with his church visibly as he had been, but he would be with his church. He will be with us as our God and our King. You remember his promise. We'll hear it again at the end of the service. "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Every day, every moment, everywhere. And this is why the disciples worshipped him. This is why they went with great joy to the temple in Jerusalem, because they knew that he wasn't gone. In fact, ascension is not the ending. Ascension is only the beginning. With his ascension into heaven, the church is ready to begin her mission. I heard one pastor say recently that when Jesus really wanted to get things going on earth, that's when he ascended into heaven. Remember what he said. Repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in my name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You know, the disciples weren't going anywhere as long as they could sit at the feet of Jesus visibly. But when he's taken up and he promises to be with them everywhere at all times, now they can go. Or remember the charge that he gave them at the very end. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So as they headed to Jerusalem from the Mount of Ascension, Jesus' followers were not going from the ending, but they were headed to a new beginning marked by the proclamation of forgiveness and the promise of holy baptism. Luke makes this clear in the book of Acts when he says in the book of Acts that his gospel, Luke, was about everything that Jesus began to do and teach, which means that the book of Acts is about everything that Jesus continued to do and teach. Everything he began doing in his church from the time when he ascended and continues today. That's why the disciples were not afraid, they were not scared, but they devoted themselves to prayer, even after Jesus was ascended into heaven. I think sometimes we forget this point as Christians. Sometimes we do feel like we've been left alone and he is far away. We live in fear and in dread of what is or of what is coming. But the ascension is the time when we need to remember that we are not to live in fear. The king sits on his throne, and he is ruling, and he is reigning. So the ascension is not about Jesus' absence, but it's about his presence. It is about him being present with his people in a new and powerful way. He promised that there was going to be no power vacuum when he left, because he said, "I'm sending the promise of the Father upon you." He said to the disciples, "Stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." We also heard him say, "You will receive power from the Holy Spirit when he comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to the end of the earth." Jesus going means the Holy Spirit coming. The Holy Spirit is the means by which Jesus Christ, his work, and his person remain present with us today. And he continues the work that Jesus began. How? By proclaiming the forgiveness of sins. How? By baptizing in the triune name. How does the Holy Spirit continue? In the fellowship of the Lord's table. You today already, and coming still, have heard and seen the work of Jesus Christ ascended on high, sending the Holy Spirit, because you heard the absolution. It is through the Holy Spirit that our Lord exercises his authority as God's right-hand man on our behalf. What I want you to hear and know is that Jesus is not passive, but he is active. He is active in forgiving sins. He is active in being with his baptized. He is active in strengthening us by his body and blood. All the gifts of his incarnation, of his suffering, his death, his bodily resurrection, they belong to us and they come to us through the Holy Spirit. And since Jesus promised to send the Comforter who will stand with us and strengthen us, his ascension is a day of rejoicing. And so when we pray, "Come, Lord Jesus," we're not praying for our Lord to return from some distant land. What we're really doing is asking for him to complete the work which he began and is even now doing in his church. Bring it to fulfillment. Bring it to completion. We rejoice now, even on ascension, for he has not left us alone in our brokenness or in our trials. While we wait for his return, we receive the gifts which he gave in his ascension. You remember when Elijah was taken up and Elisha was left behind, what did Elijah do? He left behind his cloak. He gave a full and abundant portion of his spirit. So it is with Jesus. When our greater Elijah was taken up, he left for his people on earth the full gift of his spirit in anticipation of his return. Among the gifts that Christ gave were the men who watched the ascension, those disciples, weak though they were, fallen though they were his gift. It is their writings, their recollections that we have in the New Testament, the apostolic teaching. And even today, Jesus appoints men, as he did then, to bear the keys of his kingdom with authority to proclaim his forgiveness and to announce salvation and eternal life. And he gives us his Holy Spirit, the Comforter. He gives that Spirit to us in baptism to seal us as his own. He gives the Spirit as a down payment of the room which he even now prepares for us in his Father's house. And he gave the gift of his own body and blood in the Lord's Supper, the gifts of the ascended Christ for you. Our prayer of "Come, Lord Jesus," actually is focused on these gifts even as we await their fulfillment in the heavenly kingdom. Come, Lord Jesus, and he comes in his absolution and in baptism and in Holy Communion and in the gathering of the saints. Before Jesus was carried up into heaven, what was the last thing that he did that Luke tells us? It says that he blessed his disciples. He raised his hands in blessing. That same benediction, those same good words that he spoke, are words that he speaks to us in the service today. The blessing which he gave to the disciples is a blessing that never ends. That is the last picture they have of him, because that is the way that our Lord remains toward his church. It goes on and on and on, that blessing, into eternity. Wherever his word is preached, wherever his sacraments are administered, goes on here today. Because where his means of grace are present, there Jesus is also. They may not look like much. Baptism is a little bit of water. Holy Communion, a little bit of bread and wine. It may not look like much, but we believe by his word that these are the great and precious means by which Jesus is here. So if today we pray as repentant sinners, if we pray as those who are constantly tempted by the devil, if we pray as those who suffer the assaults of the world, if we feel the pressure of a society that would have us fear men rather than God, then receive your Lord Jesus Christ, who gives to you the forgiveness of sins won by his own precious life. Commune here with the one who stands with you against all the forces of darkness. For he says, come, receive the very body and blood of your risen and ascended Lord. If we pray as those who are lost at sea in a confusing world, if we suffer some need of body or spirit and wish for his deliverance, if we lack wisdom this day, then receive your Lord Jesus Christ, who offers himself to you and the promise of all that is yet to come, who says, come, receive the very body and blood of your risen and ascended Lord. If we pray as those who are alone, as those who long for the presence of our living Lord, if we sorrow over family and friends who are distant and mourn the death of loved ones, if we feel forsaken and despised, then receive here in this house your Lord Jesus Christ, who is really present for you, who says, come, receive the very body and blood of your risen and ascended Lord. And for those of you who are still waiting to receive Holy Communion, who are young or going through instruction now, know that the Lord is here and he invites you to receive his blessing, looking ahead to that day when you receive this precious gift. The truth is that it is better to be with our Lord, and that is why we are gathered here on this Ascension Day. Because on this Ascension Day, we gather around our Lord and the gifts that he gives and the places where he promised to be, where he is continually present as God and man, as the one who is enthroned, ruling over all things, as the one who is at work for us. He is here, just as he promised. And we gather around these gifts not only today, but week after week, praying, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We gather around these gifts until the time when we see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. So we do not grieve over his ascension, but we rejoice in the work of our Lord, in the gifts that he gives, and in his presence with us, even as we continue to pray, come, Lord Jesus, longing for the full enjoyment of his kingdom. In Jesus' name. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah. I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
I now invite before the Lord's altar William Marlowe Jackson with his parents and godmother. The congregation may be seated. Beloved in the Lord, in holy baptism, William was born again as God's child and received into his church. As a further gift of his love for us, our Lord Jesus Christ has given his church the sacrament of the altar and invites his children to receive this sacrament in faith for the forgiveness of their sins. The Apostle Peter reminds us, let a person examine himself and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. William has received instruction and has been examined by me as pastor regarding his sin and his understanding of the sacrament of the altar. William, you are about to be admitted to the Lord's table. Holy Scripture describes the life of the church and every baptized Christian with these words. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and the prayers. You are invited by our Lord to come regularly to hear his word and receive his sacrament. You will continue to be instructed and nurtured in the Christian faith and life. You are invited to confess your sins and receive the comfort of holy absolution. All this will help you live as the child of God you have been made through holy baptism. In testimony of this faith and confession, I now ask you, do you believe in God the Father Almighty, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit?
I believe.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ, true God and true man, is your Lord? Do you believe that you are a sinner?
Yes.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for you and shed his blood for you on the cross for the forgiveness of all your sins? Do you believe that in the Lord's Supper he gives you his true body and blood for the forgiveness of all your sins and to strengthen your faith in him and your love toward others?
Yes.
And do you intend to continue to hear and receive the word of your Lord, confess your sins, and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully throughout your life, then say yes with the help of God?
Yes.
I therefore invite you to the Lord's Supper to receive Christ's precious body and blood for the forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I now address the parents, godmother, and congregation, Patrick and Laura, Abigail, and members of this congregation. The whole church shares with you the responsibility and concern for William's ongoing instruction and spiritual care. I now ask you, will you intercede for him in prayer, and as much as you are able, give him your counsel and aid, that in communion with the church, he may grow up to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of Jesus Christ. Then answer, we will with the help of God.
We will with the help of God.
William, if you would kneel, please stand for prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, whose Son, Jesus Christ, loved the young and called them to himself, we ask you to bless William. Strengthen him in the faith through the sacrament of Christ's body and blood, so that he may grow spiritually and bring forth the fruits of faith in a life of love toward others to the praise and honor of your name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
William, we rejoice with thankful hearts in your confession of faith. As you continue to hear the Lord's word and receive his Holy Supper, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Peace be with you.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For lips to sing praises to our King, and for confidence to live in his victory, drawing hope and strength from his ascension on high, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Church's proclamation as she goes into all the world and to the whole creation with the gospel, that many may believe, be baptized, and be saved, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Christ, that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened with the hope to which he has called us in Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who make, administer, and enforce our laws, that the Father, who has put all things under the feet of Christ, would bless them, and let his gospel have free course to the joy and edification of his people. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
With thanksgiving for our mothers, for all expectant mothers, especially Jillian with baby Penny, Carly and Liz, and for those with young children, for those who have suffered miscarriage or the death of a child, for those who, yearning for a child, have lived with the pain of this unfulfilled longing, for foster care and adoptive mothers, for mothers who grieve over their abortions, for our sister Sue as she spends time with her mother, as well as for her safe return, for those without mothers or whose mothers are home with the Lord, and for all women who are mothers in Israel, teaching, serving, and providing care within this congregation, that the Lord would grant to each of them his strength, sustain them through weary and difficult times, and give them joy. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For First Concern, CareNet, and all pregnancy resource centers, maternity homes, and organizations that care for the abortion vulnerable and those with crisis pregnancies, that their good work of caring for the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual needs of people would continue, prosper, and bear much fruit. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Alice, Nancy, and Richard, Earl, Rick, Richard, Beth, Stan, James, Randy, Brenton, Thoreau, and their family and friends, Mark, Ed, Kay, Bobby, Rosemarie, Kimberly, Debbie, Audrey, Rose, Nancy Jane, Alicia, Nancy, Ted, Gwen, Ed, Kate, Rick, and John, and all who suffer and grieve, that they may be sustained in their trials, receive comfort and healing from Christ, who is seated in the heavenly places. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who eat Christ's body and blood this day, that they may be enlivened to live in him as his body, the church, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who after his resurrection appeared openly to all his disciples and in their sight was taken up into heaven that he might make us partakers of his divine life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Today's psalm is Psalm 110, starting with the seventh verse. The Lord said to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand until I make enemies of your footstool." The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people offer themselves freely on the day of your power, and the holy garments from the womb of the morning, the dew of your youth, will be yours. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is your right hand. He will shatter kings on the day of his wrath. He will execute judgment among the nations, filling them with corpses. He will shatter chiefs over the wide earth. He will drink from the brook by the way. Therefore, he will lift up his head. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Lord says to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand until I make enemies your footstool."
Thank you. body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. To you who sit on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
To the end of the age.
Amen.